brought to you by Burr and Foreman. Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone. It's just me this morning, Elizabeth Gordon. Happy to be hosting the show. Today's show, we are focusing on leadership character, and I have a great panel of guests here with me in the studio. With TurkNet Leadership Group, we've got Susan Hitchcock and also Dr. Liz Rawling. They're going to be sharing about the TurkNet Leadership Model and the annual Leadership Character Awards. We've also got two of our Leadership Character Award people here with us as well. Dr. Yolanda Watson-Spiva is with us in the studio, Executive Director for Project Grad, Inc. Yolanda, welcome.
Thank you.
And Doug Ross is with us as well, President of Synergis, a technology and staffing company. Doug, good to have you here as well.
Thank you.
I would like to start off by getting to know our guests a little bit better. And let's start with Yolanda. Tell me more about Project Grad and how you got involved in it.
Sure. So Project Grad Atlanta is a nonprofit here in Atlanta, of course. It was begun in 2000 in Atlanta, and it was a public-private partnership. Essentially, the business, civic, corporate, and educational communities thought that we really needed to attack the graduation rate or the low graduation rate head-on and attempt to get more students to graduate from high school and to go on to college. And so Project Grad has been operating for the past 13 years, partnering with the Atlanta Public Schools in order to increase the graduation rate. And we've seen tremendous results that matter. With regard to the students going on to college, we don't only work with them to prepare them for college and help them access college. We also help them while they're in college by providing them with financial support. We provide a scholarship as well as social, emotional, and academic advisement support. So our real ultimate goal is to help students to graduate from college.
A very important mission. And your Leadership Character Award winner. And I want to know how you've used the leadership character model in your work as well as in your personal life, Yolanda.
Sure. Well, leadership character is really a lifestyle. It's not a tool. It's something that you really have to embody. I think that as a leader, when we're talking about integrity, we're talking about all of the various aspects of the leadership character model. We're really talking about a balancing act. And so as you make decisions on a daily basis, personally and professionally, really trying to be guided by the values of leadership character, really making sure that ethics, integrity, business acumen, intentionality, all of those things are subsumed within the way in which you guide others and manage your staff, but also in the way in the ways in which you govern yourself. And so I think that as you make decisions, especially business decisions, those that relate to the financial components of the business, but also programmatic decisions, being able to, you know, not have any sacred cows in the business. And so if there are programmatic ideas that aren't working, that aren't providing value for the organization, and particularly for those individuals whom the program serves, really making sure that you can take a hard look at those things and make cuts where necessary. And sometimes that's not a popular decision, but being able to make unpopular decisions with character.
In the current business climate, there are a lot of challenges that we're facing. Do you find that there's an elevated interest and focus on the character behind leadership decisions as we navigate these tumultuous times?
Most definitely. I think that, you know, since the beginning of time, we've seen where folks will take shortcuts in order to sort of get to the best outcome. And so one of the things you certainly do not want to do is to take a shortcut. And when I talk about a shortcut, I mean for example, you're looking at a particular program and you're writing a proposal for a grant, you know, it's tempting to sort of inflate your outcomes or to make your program appear as if it's better than it is. And if the outcomes aren't swinging your way, you know, you want to provide yourself in the or or put yourself out there in the best light. You don't take shortcuts because everything that happens is transparent. We are a very transparent organization. We're data-driven and results-oriented. And sometimes the data is positive. Sometimes the data is not so positive. But we use that data for continuous improvement of our organization, for the folks that work in the organization, as well as the business model. And so it's really about taking a hard look at the data, taking a hard look at our outcomes, and again, refining and re-engineering the organization so that it can be successful.
Now, those are difficult decisions, especially when you're the more influence you have as you progress up the ranks and are leading a large organization. Your decisions have ramifications that are going to hit hundreds, maybe thousands of people. It makes it hard to make those kinds of calls. How did you feel about being nominated and winning the Leadership Character Award, Yolanda?
Well, I was extremely surprised and shocked. I was also very humbled. I mean, to be nominated in the nonprofit category and then to actually win the award was very important, not for me personally, but for our organization. Members of our staff were there. Members of our board were at the award ceremony. And so I think it really was a badge of honor. A lot of times, you know, this work that we do in the nonprofit space is very you give a lot of yourself. And so to have someone to recognize the work that you're doing, and we do this because we're very passionate about the work that we do. We're passionate about the students that we serve. And so it really sort of recognized the fact that we're doing the right thing, we're in the right space, and we're in the right work. And so I think that was important. It really, when we brought that award back to the staff and everyone was shouting and cheering in the office, it really gave them the incentive to go on and to feel like somebody out there knows that we're doing good work.
That's really powerful. Now, Doug, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Talk to us about Synergis. You've got 25 years of experience in technology and staffing and have been growing this company for the last 14 years now. Tell me more about it.
Sure. Well, we're in the IT staffing space, so we provide contingent workers to major corporations throughout Atlanta as well as throughout the country. So essentially what we do is we'll provide our employees to staff various projects when there might be peak periods that a company might be experiencing new software implementations, things like that, or they just don't have the resources available to do the work themselves. So we help to supplement and augment their existing workforce. We founded the company in 1997, started very modestly, and we've been very fortunate to attract a high caliber of individual to our organization and to grow the organization for 14 consecutive years.
Well, IT has certainly grown in its influence in organizations. You know, it used to be just a department. Now it seems that everything is run on IT. So I'm sure you've seen, as the scope of IT has increased, the volume of work that you're doing has increased alongside that.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely.
Now, what are some of the trends going on in that industry right now, and how are you addressing those factors?
Sure. Well, you know, certainly technology is changing rapidly all the time, and our field really plays well to that because we provide consultants or contingent workers that are consistently upgrading their skills, learning what the most important trends are within software and infrastructure development. And so we seem to be meeting that demand. We're in the right place at the right time, essentially. But, you know, overall, though, and as well, we're in the employment business. And, you know, of course, that's a very important topic these days. You know, surprisingly, we are seeing that demand in our field has been increasing even during the recession.
Now, as a nominee for the Leadership Character Award, this is obviously a framework that you've leveraged professionally. Talk about the nature of your work with leadership character and how that underlines as a theme throughout what you're doing professionally.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, as was mentioned earlier, I think communication and transparency are absolutely key. You know, the leadership character model that we've learned and that we're talking about today is really really that framework that you never learned in business school. You know, we're in the people business, and although it sounds like a cliche, people truly are our greatest resource. And, you know, we have enjoyed working with the TurkNet Leadership Group from a number of different angles, and they've helped us with clarifying our messaging, helping to identify our our competencies for success within our organization. But, you know, the underlying foundation of integrity is just absolutely critical today.
Excellent. So let's take a step back now and bring our TurkNet folks into the discussion. I want to dive in and get to know Doug and Yolanda. Now, Susan, you've worked with TurkNet Leadership Group for the last 20 years, and as the president of client services and also the founder and director of the popular Women in Leadership series, you've been involved in research, writing. Liz, you're an industrial organizational psychologist. You've got expertise in the hire and pre-hire assessment, performance management, and presenting research at the Society of Industrial and Organizational Psychology's past three national conferences. You guys are true experts on the topic. So let's talk leadership. What's most important for successful leaders? Let's start there.
Well, I'll start by saying, of course, I believe that a foundation that the leadership character model represents is essential today. There are leaders, there are great leaders, and there are leaders that simply aren't doing what needs to be done. The fact of the matter is that the model represents to us and to me for sure, and I think our colleagues here this morning are excellent examples, that if you have a foundation of integrity, an ethical base, if you will, as an individual to start with. And then you use what we call the two sides of that model, which is respect, which is the people side of leadership and includes elements like empathy and lack of blame and emotional mastery and humility. And then the other side, which is equally important for leaders, and that is responsibility. And I like to call that the bottom line, the what you're there for, the get it done and the results. And that has a series of components of self-confidence and accountability and focus on the whole and courage. Now, that's a lot of things to say about leadership, and there are books, as you know, and studies and courses and so forth, and you could get a lot of different characteristics. But in my view and from my experience, and I have 25 years in the corporate world as well, I have never seen any example, any model, if you will, that better represents what I think a leader today needs to be, needs to have as a core. And the people that I believe across this country that whether you're in business, whether you're in politics, whether you're in the social media, it doesn't really matter. The ones who stand out to me as the best leaders are the folks who have these characteristics.
Now, how was the leadership character model developed? It is a very comprehensive framework.
Well, give credit to where credit is due, Dr. Bob TurkNet and his wife and business partner, Lynn TurkNet, developed it. And it literally came out of the years and years of work they've done with individual leaders and teams and so forth. They formed it, they framed it, they created the model. It's used with our clients. They also wrote a book about it. Decent People, Decent Company, How to Lead with Character at Life and at Work. And by the way, it isn't something that just applies to the working person. We've had people tell us that it's so beneficial to them in their personal lives, with their spouses, with their partners, with their children, et cetera. So it's a model that is really a life model.
Now, some people see leadership as synonymous with ethics. Mm. What do you think about that?
I would say that ethics is more a code of conduct. It's something that an organization might have. They would have a code of ethics that everyone's expected to follow. But leadership character or character in leadership is broader than that. It's more about who you are. You might certainly have a code of ethics that you follow, but it's who you are, and it's more about responsibility and how you might act in situations where a code of ethics might not exist to tell you how to behave. It's when you have to make those decisions to determine what's the right thing to do.
And I would just add that, to me, character comes in on an individual, personal, one-on-one level. You can have, and businesses typically do, organizations typically have today, policies and practices that they call their ethical ones, and people sign off on those. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean a darn thing if individuals are not paying attention to doing the right thing, even when no one's looking. And that has to do with the financial aspects of the business. It has to do with everything that Yolanda has talked about, people decisions, how you handle if you have to do a layoff. How do you handle that? Everything from start to finish. But character, I think, obviously affects the ethical culture of an organization, but it comes from the inside out, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yolanda, Doug, what do you think about that interrelation between ethics as an organizational ethics and individual leadership character?
I completely concur. I think that one of the things that has to happen is the leadership, and I define leadership very broadly. I think anyone in the organization can lead and does lead often in the organization, depending on the context. And I think that when you do that, it's really about setting an example. And so one of the things that we really believe is that if the example is there, if everywhere you are in the organization, it's very clear that this is the standard for how we operate, this is our modus operandi, it really becomes a culture. And so when you're talking about a culture of leadership character, the other thing that happens is that those folks in those times when people aren't looking are really more inclined to hearken back to the culture of the organization. And they know this isn't a place where not only is this not acceptable, it's just not the right thing to do. And so I think that I know in our organization, we hear folks say all the time, we've had instances, especially since 2008, where we have had to lay off. And you know what we did? We helped to find those individuals' jobs. It wasn't in the job description. It wasn't something we were required to do, but it was the right thing to do because these were people with lives and families, and we really wanted to make sure that as an organization, they knew you weren't just a worker bee here. You were a part of a family. And so when tough times occurred and we had no other decision to make but to provide a layoff, we really wanted to make sure they landed in the best place possible.
Important.
Absolutely. No, and I would agree with what you said earlier, Liz, that it's really not just a codified set of rules. It is certainly the beliefs of your organization and what it is that you stand for and how you communicate that. And that then rolls out to everything that you do, from selecting people to join the organization in the first place, ensuring that they have a similar set of values that you have as an organization, because that match is so important. But when a question arises, when it's not a policy, a procedure, there's a tough decision that needs to be made, that feeling of the organization, that core value really comes through, and that's where it really shows.
I was also going to say, I love the part in the model that talks about responsibility, because leadership character isn't about being perfect. It's not about not making mistakes. And so there will be times when mistakes will be made. And I think it's about taking ownership for mistakes, learning from those mistakes. And I think as a leader, it's also important how you respond to mistakes. And so as opposed to being dogmatic and firing someone on the spot because they made an error, it's really about turning that into a teachable and learnable moment. And so I think the other part of this is really about just making it a safe space to really learn in the work environment and to teach and to grow and not really trying to be punitive or dogmatic.
That's very true. Trust is a core component of this, I believe. Absolutely. And something that seems to be sadly missing in a lot of businesses today.
Well, and you see a lot of leaders, we all, over time, that don't necessarily fulfill the highest integrity that we would expect of them. So what is it that derails leaders along the way? Because there are challenges, as you've been saying.
Let me just say that in one word, the number one derailer is arrogance. Mm. And that is an individual who gets so full of himself or herself that nothing else. That's when they get into trouble, too. And it's a wonderful thing to talk about self-confidence, but if you have too much of it, that goes to the extreme. So studies show time after time that an individual, a leader, who becomes arrogant in the decisions that he or she makes, and that definitely is doesn't have a darn thing to do with gender, is it's a matter of time. It will happen. I'm a believer. I'd make a wager on it. It's just give it time, and that will derail someone. There are certainly other characteristics, but overall, that one characteristic, and when people get to that level, and there's a difference, and you can be an excellent performer and recognized by all kind of folks, but if you have a balance of humility, That's where that comes in, the balance. You can have self-confidence, but you want to temper that with humility. And that reminds me of the Collins, Jim Collins, a long time ago, talked about great leaders, and one of the characteristics was humility. And a lot of people in the past have thought, oh, a leader with humility, that sounds like a weak individual. Not so. Not no. so at all. Take Warren Buffett. He's even described as a very humble individual, and I think he's a little bit successful.
Just well. I would also go back to something that Yolanda was talking about in terms of being able to admit when a mistake is being made. I think that goes along with the arrogance piece. When people are trying to present themselves as infallible, I think that's where they start to get into a lot of trouble.
Well, there's these stereotypes of a strong leader, of the perfect leader, and so sometimes perhaps people feel like they've got to put up some kind of a false front or paint this picture of being infallible, mm-hmm. of being so strong that nobody can question their leadership. So how do you keep those tendencies in check? Does the methodology help to provide a framework to create the balance that you're talking about, Susan?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind to answer that question is awareness, self-awareness. And, for example, to do a 360 survey and get feedback from, if you do have a superior, and from your peers and from those who work for you, because I'm convinced, and from my own experience, I believe that there are people who sort of lose their way because they're literally are unaware. They've kind of developed a style and they go with it. But the people who I think can make the change, if in fact they get too self-important and think they're infallible, often being made aware of that by, as how do people see me? And it's important to look at it not just from the person that you may work for, but also your peers and your direct reports. And in many cases, there will be different perspectives from those three areas. But knowing, just getting a fix on yourself and recognizing that you can work on that. Quite frankly, that's what a lot of TurkNet work is about in doing executive development and coaching work, whether we're working with a CEO or working with a manager at some mid-level or even a professional. So I do think being aware, first of all, is critical to making any kind of adjustment.
Good point. Gender differences. What gender differences do you see in leadership?
I think over years and years of research, there's been research showing that women tend to be more nurturing and empathic, or they at least tend to be seen as more nurturing and empathic, while men are seen as more direct and results oriented. But I think Susan alluded to the fact earlier that women and men can both be both. They can both balance both parts of what we would call the leadership character scale. And honestly, they should.
And if you don't mind me adding, I would also say that I think the model sort of validates women's leadership. I think that, in the past, because of the fact that women have been viewed as softer or more nurturing, that sort of led to a negative perception of women's ability to serve in leadership roles. And so I think that with this model being proliferated, it really sort of says there's validation in all forms of leadership. And so, yes, there should be this people component. There should be a component that deals with integrity and responsibility and those sorts of things. And so I think it really makes it more open for women. And though even men who may come from a perspective that says, I'm not going to be overbearing and aloof, I'm going to really be nurturing and care about my employees.
So can anyone be a leader? The classic question, are leaders born or made?
I would say that there are some people who are born with certain strengths that might make it more likely for them to be found in, or to find themselves in a leadership position. But they're still going to have certain aspects of their personality that they're going to need to work on and develop and grow. Other people might not be so natural in a leadership position, but they can also work on developing in certain areas where they might have gaps.
And Yolanda mentioned a few minutes ago the fact that leaders can be at any level, and that is exactly what TurkNet talks about and the model represents. It is not a matter of title and really birth. But the fact that you're absolutely right, there are certainly people that we see that come along that, that just tend to step into those roles, and there's something there. DNA, I don't know, but it's there's something there. The fact is, though, that over and over and years of practical experience from my standpoint have shown me that people can be developed, and I see a lot of people who have the potential. And in fact, in the corporate world, we're always assessing potential for leadership. So that suggests that the core can be there. The you want to you have to develop some of those skills. And as a matter of fact, the other thing that's very obvious is that what is required of a leader at different levels of an organization are different. So just because you lead well as a, let's just say, in a corporate world environment, a first level or a second level position, doesn't mean necessarily that you are have the skills developed at that point to operate at a senior level. Can be developed, maybe not for everyone the same, but certainly. But I have seen, in fact, it is one of the most wonderful experiences to for the Leadership Character Awards to know that people are nominated who literally do not have a per se leadership role, and yet people perceive them to have to be examples of leadership, the leadership character model. And in some in one case, we even have a category where we recognize people that don't have that title. It doesn't matter. They could be a volunteer in the community, and yet they represent the model and they demonstrate leadership. So leadership is that has nothing to do with title, and in many cases doesn't have anything to do with birth.
Very interesting. So as leaders of organizations, what kind of cultures have you created within the companies that you lead to really embody these theories and best practices? Doug?
Sure. Well, I think first and foremost for us, the transformational change that we went through over the last several years has been to create an environment of transparency and communication, certainly with trust throughout. And I think that's what helps to encourage that openness, that collaboration that we're certainly looking for. You know, in our case, as the founder of the company, so many of the decisions ended up bubbling up to my desk. And that was not the vision that I had for the organization. That's not what I want today. It's not what I want for the future. If we're to be successful and continue to sustain our growth, then we need everyone throughout the organization to be making suggestions, feeling confident that they can make those suggestions, no matter how off the wall it may seem. You know, we certainly are encouraging people to think outside of the box, and they have to have a safe and trusting environment in order to do that. And by espousing and by living the leadership character model, I think people feel a little more confident in their ability to do that and become much more engaged each and every day that they come to work.
Excellent. Yolanda?
Sure. I'd have to completely agree that trust is first and foremost on the table, I think, and it's a bilateral trust. It can't just be where, you know, I trust my direct reports or they trust me. It has to really be, it has to permeate the organization. The other thing I really think is that if you're going to have a successful organization, you have to constantly be in tune to the strengths of the individuals that work within the organization and leverage those strengths. As an organization changes, you talked about transforming an organization. When people move around or they're not being successful in the organization, you have to sort of test and figure out, is there another place within the organization where they could be more successful? So we've had individuals, as opposed to managing them outside of the organization, sometimes we've managed to talk and have a conversation about where they could best leverage their strengths to the benefit of the organization. And so we've had people that may have come into the organization at one level or in one position, and through constant conversations and feedback, some of the feedback has been, you know, I don't really work well at managing people, but I'm really great at research. And so we can put that person in another position where they can thrive. And so, you know, a lot of times when you read a paper job description, you think you can do one thing, and then when you get into the position, you see that it's something else. So I think that one of the things that leadership character also really embodies is about being in tune to the individuals. It's really, as you said before, Susan, very people-centered. And so I think that really tapping in and staying focused on the people is very important and central to leadership character.
Excellent. Now, TurkNet sees this in practice every day as you're working with some top clients around the country. What is the most recent research that you're seeing telling you about the qualities of successful leaders?
One of the most recent results that we've seen in our research shows that emotional mastery is one of the strongest predictors of being seen as a successful leader. So leaders who basically have control over their emotions, they don't burst out in anger towards others, but also, you know, make sure they're making rational decisions. That's one of the strongest predictors. And in a somewhat related vein, optimism. Leaders with optimism are being seen as better, more effective leaders as well.
Interesting. So you know that here on Results Matter, we always like to finish up the show by talking about the results that matter. And I'd like to ask each of my guests now to share some of the key results that they've experienced in their companies and are looking forward to this year, 2013, to continue to put up some great results. So Doug, let's start with you.
Sure.
Results that matter.
Well, you know, when we first learned of the leadership character model, we were experiencing a tremendous amount of turnover within our organization. We certainly had been successful. We were growing, but we were losing key people in the organization, and not just in those frontline customer-facing roles, but behind the scenes as well. And those are really also the folks who really keep things moving forward. You know, they're keeping our consultants happy and you know, our customers happy. And I think by implementing some of the programs that we've learned through TurkNet, our turnover has dropped to almost nil. And we're in an industry that has traditionally very high turnover. And the result has been that over the last 5 years, we've averaged almost 18% annual growth year over year. So, you know, those experienced people that we've been able to not only attract into the organization, but now retain them much more effectively than we did in the past, you know, they are so much more effective in their roles than that new individual that joins the organization is trying to learn our culture, learn our processes, and all of that. So that's really been the bottom line result for us, I would say.
That's a really powerful business impact. I want to make sure we also give out your website if people are interested in finding out more about Synergist. Can they go to find you online?
Absolutely. They can visit us at www.synergistit.com.
Terrific. And Yolanda, let's turn to you now. Results that you've seen from the leadership character framework and going forward.
Sure. Well, we like to sort of look at our results from an operational perspective. We've had for the past 13 years, as I mentioned before, we were growing in one direction, and then we had a sort of reorganization of our company, and so we downsized to about 7 staff. And I'm happy to report that as of this year, we're back in the game with about 23 positions in our organization, and so a major challenge turned into an opportunity. We've actually been able to rehire some of the folks that we had to lay off in the past, and so we're really excited about that. As of last year, we have also had unqualified audit opinions every year of the organization, and so we like to think that we're doing our work in terms of the financial acumen and business acumen of the organization very successfully. In addition to that, as of the end of last year, we had 2012 graduates and scholarship earners for our program. And so in 2012, the year 2012, we had 2012 graduates. This year, we're also expanding to 4 more high schools. And so our goal is to serve and provide scholarships to students, to all of the high school students in the Atlanta Public Schools over the next couple of years. So I'm pleased to say that we're on the upswing.
That's fantastic. Wonderful. Wonderful results to report. And let's make sure we give contact information for Project Grad Atlanta if people want to get involved.
Sure. You can reach us on the web at www.projectgradatlanta.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Project Grad Atlanta. You can also call us at 404-880-3500.
Terrific. Thank you. Now, Liz and Susan, let's talk about results from your standpoint. Liz, would you like to start?
Sure. I'd say through our executive coaching and also the work that we do on the pre-hire side, where we help leaders decide who to hire, for us, results in terms of what we're doing there is seeing more leaders of character in organizations, as well as organizations with cultures that are more honest, open, and transparent.
That's terrific. Good stuff. Susan?
Liz is there every day, and she and I think, would both agree that our results, TurkNet's results, are the results of our clients. And whether they get promoted, whether their companies like Doug's continue to grow, whether their people, the talent continues to be identified properly and developed and so forth, those are the kinds of things that, you know, we experience, TurkNet celebrates the results of our clients. One thing I'm very proud of, and these are kind of results as far as I'm concerned, one is that we're in our 10th year of our Women's Leadership Seminar Series, and we have more participants than we've ever had. I think I just hosted our 115th consecutive monthly event. It's a two-hour event on a Friday morning, that typically towards the end of the month at the Commerce Club, and we've got some of Atlanta's top companies who send their executive level women, managers, and so forth, and it's just a great event, and I'm very pleased. I think we are making a contribution to helping to identify and develop some of Atlanta's top female talent. And then there's the wonderful 10th, also 10th year, this is a year of 10ths, for TurkNet's annual Leadership Character Awards, which we'll be celebrating on September 18th of this year. It's a big luncheon at the Aquarium, and the kind of participants, nominees, award recipients, again, they represent, I think, their own results, and TurkNet's very proud to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Lots of great stuff going on, and let's make sure people know where to find TurkNet if they would like to reach out and work with you all.
Sure. www.turknet.com. You could also call us at 770-270-1723.
Well, it's been a real pleasure having this conversation about leadership character with all of you today. I'd like to thank each of my guests, Susan Hitchcock and Dr. Liz Rawling with TurkNet Leadership Group, and Dr. Yolanda Watson-Spiva with Project Grad, Inc., and Doug Ross, president of Synergis. Thanks, you all, for being here today. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. You've been listening to Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio, and we will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.